I don't think there's anything we can do about this speaker right now, so we just have to accept a little static. I think it's the speaker, I don't think it's the microphone. I think it's the speaker. Anyway, we hear these very strong words of reproach that Jesus addresses to the three towns along the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. Were they worse than Tyre, Sidon, and Sodom? Not in the external or the obvious forms of their sin. Sodom, for sure, had committed graver sins than Capernaum. Tyre and Sidon had reputations for being evil pagan cities, and Chorazin and Bethsaida were just fishing villages. So why is Jesus so critical of them? Because they didn't respond to what they had received. They weren't moved by the presence and the preaching of the Lord. Whereas Tyre and Sidon and Sodom, they didn't have the advantages that these towns had, so they can't be judged on the same standard. But these three towns, they had been given a lot and did nothing. So their sin is not in the gravity of their evil doing, but in their failure to respond, their failure to repent. That's why it's a challenging reading for us. We might look at ourselves and say, well, I never did that. I wasn't as bad as so-and-so. But that's applying the wrong standard. The question is, how have we responded to God? How have we repented? So it's quite a challenging reading. In order to reflect a little bit on our response to God, we can spend some time reflecting on the journey of Moses. Moses, whom we meet for the first time in today's first reading. Moses, a fascinating and important, one of the most important figures in the whole Bible, Moses. A man who was given a lot, was chosen, and also responded very well. He served the Lord. He wasn't perfect. Obviously, he killed a man at this reading, and he had quite a temper, as we know, but he was a very great servant of the Lord. So let's think a bit about Moses. We started reading from the book of Exodus yesterday, read the first chapter. We learned that the Israelites have been reduced to the condition of slavery. The second chapter introduces us to Moses, his birth, his adoption by the daughter of the Pharaoh, and his sudden exile. If you know the traditional chronology of the life of Moses, it's got three phases or three parts to it. The first 40 years, he's an Egyptian. He's a Hebrew, but he's raised as an Egyptian. The second 40 years, he's a shepherd in Midian, because he's in exile. And then the third 40 years, he's the great leader of the Israelites into freedom, to the promised land. He's both the liberator and the lawgiver. So if you want to reflect on your own life, you can probably see stages. And they can be quite different. A lot of people think of their life as from childhood till the day they got married, then their married life until something happened, maybe someone died or moved to another place or whatever, lost your job or something, and then the next phase. So we have phases. And very often the shift from one to the other is so it's quite sudden. And we say, well, what happened? This pandemic is probably at one of these thresholds from one phase to another in the journey of life. Well, Moses has these. The first phase, he's raised as an Egyptian, And suddenly he has to flee. Partly it's his own fault. Partly it's the providence of God. Get him out of Egypt and get him prepared for his mission, which will eventually be given to him. So he suddenly has to flee. He's out in the desert. He starts a family. It's a whole new life. Then, I think it's in tomorrow's reading, the shift from the second phase to the third phase is when he suddenly meets the Lord in the burning bush. And again, out of the blue, God intervenes and gives him a new stage of his journey. So it's good to reflect on Moses because it helps us reflect on ourselves. Now, Moses was born into a very hostile environment. In fact, the law said he was supposed to be killed. He was supposed to be thrown into the Nile River. That was the law of the Pharaoh. He had asked the midwives to kill the children, but they refused to do it. So he says to the Egyptians, throw the boy, just the boys, into the river. Which is shockingly wicked, but not that rare, sad to say. Egypt was not the only place where children, innocent children, were killed by the legal authority. Certainly we know the horrible example of Herod and the massacre of the infant children in Bethlehem. Moses kind of prefigures that. In the children of the Hebrews, one of them was saved, it was Moses. Among the children in Bethlehem, one of them was saved, it was Jesus. So Moses, the great liberator and the great lawgiver, is a prefiguration of Jesus, the much greater liberator, the savior of the world, and the much greater lawgiver, the new law, law of love. Moses is born into this hostile world, but he's saved by being put in a basket. The word for basket in the Hebrew is the same word that's used for the Ark of Noah. So he's put into an ark. And just like the ark, it became a vehicle for his salvation. And he's drawn out of the water and starts this new life as an Egyptian. He has a kind of dual citizenship. He's born a Hebrew, and he's even nursed by his own mother. In fact, she gets paid for nursing her own son. It's a beautiful little detail there. But he's raised as a member of the Pharaoh's family. So he seems both Hebrew and Egyptian. But his real identity is Hebrew, that's how he's born, and that will come into play later when his mission is revealed. Now, we can look at Moses as a figure in the big picture of God's plan for salvation, but we can also look at him as an image of ourselves. And that's what I'm inclined to do today. To see that Moses represents each one of us. Each one of us is born into a hostile world. The world is symbolized by Egypt, and the Pharaoh symbolizes Satan. The reign of Pharaoh over Egypt, and it's an evil reign, it's a deadly reign, it's an oppressive reign, is like the work of Satan in the world. Satan, who is always moving people to be anti-life, anti-child, anti-family, anti-marriage, anti-God, that's the work of Satan. And we're born into this world. But we are placed into an ark, placed into a basket, that's the church. And we are drawn out of the water. The water, to be thrown into the Nile is to die. To be drawn out of the Nile is to live a new life. Of course, it's a symbol of baptism. So our baptism is what establishes us in a new life, a new relationship with God and a new possibility for our mission in this fallen world. We have a dual citizenship. We belong to heaven, and yet we are still here in Egypt. We are raised in Egypt. We're influenced by the culture of Egypt. That's the world. And we're supposed to make use of the things of this world for the kingdom of God. Just like Moses was able to take all that he gained from his Egyptian upbringing and use it later on, use it for his mission for the people of God. So it's a story of God intervening, choosing one person for the sake of many. And this is always how God works. Each one of us is drawn out of the water, waters of baptism. We are placed in the kind of dual citizenship condition, living in the world but belonging to God. And we are trained and guided, and we are given a mission. And our little work is for the benefit of many. Not that we see who benefits or how God does it. Even Moses had no idea until he met God in the burning bush when he's 80 years old. Moses did not know that he was going to be the liberator of his people. God knew. Well, we don't know what effect our service of the Lord has on anybody else. For the most part, we don't know. But it's important to recognize that God knows, and he's the one who works out all these details. So whatever phase of life we might be in, and there might be many more, for all we know, it's important to abandon ourselves to God, so that his work of salvation can be extended to more and more people. Well, we'll be reflecting on the journey and the mission of Moses for several weeks, but today it gives us this chance to reflect on how God chooses one and calls him to serve his people. So don't be like Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum. Don't be like Tyre and Sidon and Sodom. Be like Moses. We give thanks to God for his saving us, saving our life and choosing us and giving us our mission.